Thank you, Lord. Why don't you turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 2? We'll start there this morning. I want to do a, for those who don't know, Pastor Joel and Jenny are on sabbatical, and they'll be back in early November. My wife, Angela, and I are holding the fort. My wife is actually speaking at Bly Bly Baptist Church this morning, and pray for her. She's chatting to them about God and health and all that. And so that's cool. And but I want to do a two-part series if I can. I want to talk about for 2 weeks. We don't do series usually because, you know, we have different speakers come in and different thing. We like to add to the house different people's strength. But I want to talk about Christ, if that's okay, in church. I want to talk about Christ. We'll talk about Christology a bit and lay a foundation today, get a little bit in. But I actually want to show in Scripture every book of the Bible where Christ is. I want to see us as a body of believers getting more into the Word and adding the Word to our life. I want us to have a love for the Word of God, the Logos, the written Word. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, 12, it's very clear that the Bible is able to divide your soul and spirit. It's able to divide my thoughts from my heart. God wants, you know, as you read Scripture, you know, there's a discernment, there's a tuning that happens to your life. How many love the Bible? How many love the God of the Bible? The God, the one and only God that could give us this amazing manuscript, this template for our life to be centered upon. And in Scripture, in Colossians 2:8, it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Christ means anointed one. We were called Christians in the book of Acts, in a place called Antioch first. We were called Christians. Before that, we were called people of the way, followers of the way. And we are disciples. Disciples means apprentice. How many are perfect here? Well, we serve the perfect one, but we're not perfect. We're not professional either. You know, there's no such thing as a professional Christian. Hallelujah. We're all in training. We're all on the job training. And so Christ leads us in his beautiful, lavish love in our life. And we find this anointed one. And hopefully we receive the anointed one so that we can be called little anointed ones. That's the name Christian. And so God, you know, wants there was an imagery during morning prayer before we have service. We have a bunch of us get together and we pray. And in that, we saw an imagery of God removing cement from people's ears today. Now, cement is a man-made substance. Here we are, Colossians chapter 2:8 says, you know, don't be brought into the man-made religion or tradition. And there's a lot of cement between our ears. And the imagery that I had was God made it liquid and it all poured out of our ears today. Hallelujah. May the man-made stuff leave our life, leave our thinking, leave that which influences us. We want to be influenced and centered on Christ. Now, there's people who have Jesus. They have enough of Jesus to be miserable. Jesus is someone in their life to remind them what they can't do. You ever met someone like that? Jesus has this amazing way of shoving and pushing, and that just offends some of your imagery. Well, Jesus doesn't push. Jesus doesn't shove. You know, I wonder if we could see in the Spirit, like, how tenacious God is for us. You think that Jesus is just letting things happen like, oh, yeah, I don't like him anyway. Just have at it, Satan. Just do whatever you want to his life or her life. Do you really think that's the way that Christ approaches his love for you and I? You know, when we invite Jesus in, he has this amazing ability to get to the center of me. And he tries to push, and he's really good at accomplishing this. He pushes the stuff that wants to be first rather than him first in my life. His incredible ability to find himself at the center of me. I'll prove it to you. Anybody that's been following Jesus, can you stand up today and bear witness that you are exactly the same scoundrel, ruffian, idiot, sinner that you were when you first got saved? Anybody stand up and give that testimony? You're exactly what you were, a heathen, lost, a jerk, beyond measure, uncomprehendable, uncomparable, jerk that you were today, like you were when you received Jesus. Anybody stand up and say amen to that? So you're all changing. What are you changing into? The image of Jesus. Christ, the Holy Anointed One, is forming himself in our life. I think that's pretty exciting. How about you? It says he's faithful to complete the work, and there's all throughout the throughout the worms that God's removing. I don't know where that came from, but whatever. Okay. That throughout the room that God himself is transforming a people, and that's exciting. We already proved we come from a lot of different tribes and nations and tongues. There's more than that in this. I love this house because it's so multi-ethnic and amazing. God drew us all to Nambour. Holy cow, don't tell me there's no God. I was minding my own business somewhere else. Perfectly happy. And all the laughter means you were with me there too, probably in spirit. Nambour? How do you spell that? Oh my God. Man. Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through what? His name. Hallelujah. At the name of Jesus Christ. Sins are forgiven. I receive you, Jesus Christ. You are Lord. I call you Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. John 1:1, in the beginning was the what? Word. And the big W word was with God, and the word was with God. That's Jesus, man. Do you know, genomai is a word that means to become. And so we were doing the foundations of our faith. We had our first class on Tuesday. It's free if you want to come along. That's cool. We've already started 3 hours. It's 3 hours, 6 to 9 Tuesday. But we were studying about genomai, which is the word in the Greek to mean to become. Can I tell you that when Jesus Christ came in, he became flesh, but he didn't become God. He always has been God. Jesus Christ has always been God. The form that he took in the form of man, the kenosis of Christ, which is Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 9, when he emptied himself, here's the mystery, he empties himself of being in the Godhead in the form in heaven, and he's still in the Godhead. Deuteronomy 6:4, our God is one, the Lord is one, but there's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ has to come in the flesh so he might die. God can't die. So he had to change the form. He had to become flesh. John 1:14. So Christ, the plan is to be the anointed one who never had any sin in his life. This is an amazing mystery that he can fill the universe with who he is and yet still be man. He was totally man. He was totally God. That's the mystery. You'll never figure it out. It's called faith. Faith is the substance. Faith is substance-like. God wants us to have faith. Here's the thing. You don't have the substance, so he gives you the substance called faith and says, believe in me. Yeah, I don't understand. I didn't ask you to understand, homie. I asked you to believe in me. Oh. You mean understanding is not a prerequisite to get Jesus? Exactly. If that were the case, look around. Nobody in the room qualifies for understanding to get saved. It's faith. It's faith, man. Faith in Christ. Christ is the solution for all problems. Christ, the hope of glory. Here he is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Matthew chapter 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to what? Fulfill them. Where's the law fulfilled? In Christ. How many think we could fulfill the law? How many think you're good enough to get to heaven? Because that's the biggest lie on the planet right now. Oh, you know, Bertha was a good person. I'm sure she's there. Not if she doesn't have Christ, she's not. They say that's harsh. That's truth. Why would Jesus Christ come if I can be good enough to get to heaven? Don't make sense. Now, you have 9 outside sources, non-Christian writers, who have eyewitness or account of Jesus Christ walking the face of the earth, documenting that, and writing those factual events that are truth. Jesus Christ came. Not Christian writers, non-Christian writers. You know, you can't really tell me history, eyewitness account. You can't be a witness of history unless you witnessed it. Does that make sense? Like, I can't tell you what happened in World War II, you know, like I was a witness to it because I wasn't there. There's people in the room that can. Here's eyewitness accounts, witnesses of the Christ who walked in the flesh, totally man, totally God at the same time. Acts 3:18, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. It is prophesied that Jesus would suffer. Why did he suffer? You can say that's just a nice piece of information. He suffered for me. He suffered for you. Why? Because I can't get eternal life, but only by through Jesus Christ. You keep saying that. Yeah, because it's an important point of life that everybody and their brother in the world seems to be trying to refute. If you just go to church, you get saved. Wrong. If you own a Bible, wrong. If you just read the Bible, wrong. You can worship any name, it's the same God. Wrong. Neo-universalism, wrong. All paths don't lead to Rome. Only Jesus Christ, the road, the narrow way, leads to eternal life. You know, there's millions of people that have died a martyr's death for this truth. We have this thing I talked about several weeks ago called the Apostles' Creed. One of the earliest records of the Apostles' Creed, meaning what the apostles or the followers of Christ from yesteryear, we're talking 140 AD, what they believed. Here's my thing is, what is your creed? What is the code by which you live? Here's another question. What is the code by which you would be willing to die? Because if you have something to live for, that means you should have something to die for. Yeah, I would die for my wife and daughter. You know, me knowing my history, that's without question. But am I willing to live for Christ to the same degree as I'm willing to die for my family? Like, where is my passion point? How deeply do I love the Christ Jesus? And Christ requires me to die to myself because I found him, which is everything to live for. You know, what men say, I'm not necessarily willing to die for. I'm not willing to go by every whim of what the world deems as important. Like, are you willing to die for your iPhone? Some young people I've watched are. You know? What are we investing in? My encouragement is that we would invest in Christ, in Him alone, the fulfiller and sustainer of our life. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am. Say, I am. I am the way, he says, and the truth and the life. No one, say no one. That's everybody you know and don't know. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus' words. I just read his words. You just repeated some of his words. I didn't write the book. I'm just trying to live by the book. I love the book. I'm trying to read the book. I'm trying to apply the book. I'm trying to apply the God of the book. I'm trying to apply the big W to my life. And there's that struggle, isn't there? You know, there's this massive, like, wow, he can fill the whole of creation with his presence and yet still be in the form of man. That spins me out. That should spin you out because we can't grasp it. That's the mystery. And I can try to do the right thing and fail, which I do, and so do you, but yet he still loves me. That spins me out. Can you spin anybody else out? Paul says, hey, the thing I want to do, I don't, and the thing I don't want to do, I do. That's Paul. You know, and he wrote a whole bunch of these books we deem as from the Lord, from God, from the Holy Spirit's breath that breathed life. But me not being able to measure up because that's just the facts doesn't put me in a place to use that as an excuse not to go after him more. Christ, the hope of glory. Christ, the only way to the Father. John 17:17, great verse. Sanctify them, speaking of all his followers. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So as we read his word, as God applies his word, guess what he's doing? There he is, shoving and pushing himself deeper in the center of my life. That's why it's such a battle. The enemy hates you reading the Bible. He hates you going after God. He hates you going to church. He hates you raising your children for Christ. He hates it. And he doesn't play nice. Have you noticed that? He's a dirty fighter. He'll use the most seemingly good things to distract you from God. He won't use the drastic evil. Blind Freddy can see drastic evil compared to God. It's a no-brainer. He'll use the good. Surf's up. Oh, Jesus, help us. That hurt. I could feel that through the room. Surf's up. It's like, dude, he's talking about surfing. He's talking about waves. We live on the coast. What's his problem? Touch something else. Have you ever noticed? I just wanted to get one in. Boom, low. You ever noticed in the movies, you ever been to America? I don't know if you ever been. God help you if you have. If you ever been to America, you go to the Deep South, they always preach about drinking. But they never preach against smoking. Do you know why? If you go into the Carolinas and those areas and you look outside of your door, you are surrounded by tobacco fields. You don't preach against what bringing in money and what everybody's working on. Back to surfing. Just want to, we'll let you off the hook. Okay. But the truth, he wants to sanctify us with his word. He wants to clean us with his word. Can I say the only cleaning agent that really applies to our life? Have you ever tried to clean things with different products? Men? Hey, 2017, you ain't going to call me out on that sexism thing. No way. You thought I was going to say, ladies, how about you, men? I know you like a good clean, get down on them knees. Come on. Come on now. Uh-oh. We a modern church now. Uh-oh. Heaven help us. Anyway. And just everything you try just doesn't work, hey. There's a sponge, disintegrate, or whatever, but there's that one thing that you know will work. Can I say it's Jesus spiritually? It's Jesus spiritually. You ever read 2 Corinthians chapter 2? Go in like verse 15, 16, 17. And it's talking about stink. Nah, that's a bad word. Smell. No. Aroma. Oh, fragrance. The ability to smell. And it says in verse 15 of that, everywhere you go, if you have Christ, you allow the fragrance of Christ to come out of your life. 2 Corinthians 2. Verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Do you know that when you walk into a room, atmosphere changes? You have the ability to bring Christ into a situation. That's why he's got assaulted all throughout the coast doing different things, being longing and being a part of all different people's lives, because he wants you to be the fragrance, the aroma of Christ in those situations. To those that are dying, we're offensive. We can be offensive. But to those that are, you know, trying to pursue life through Christ, we're supportive. It's a good aroma. We smell like life. To those that are dying, living a death, not finding Christ, we remind them of that smell of death, that they haven't received the fragrance of heaven yet. The word in that verse 15 is euodia. Euodia means that Christ himself is at work in your life and doing it. Jesus is doing something in your life that others notice. Whether they say anything or not, they notice. I love those scenarios that you find yourself in and someone says to you, "Are you special?" What? There's a lot of definition to the word special. I don't know if you know that. What are they insinuating? You know? Or you got this light, you got this glow around you. Anybody ever had someone say you got this glow around you or aura? Raise your hand if you have. Nutters. You know? Hey, that light, that thing, you got that glow, you got that whole joy thing that's working for me. I don't know if I need Jesus, but whatever's working for you, that's fine for you. I mean, having that conversation. Raise your hand. I want you to admit it. Right? But Christ himself is at work. Can I say Christ is at work in our life and Christ is pleasing to the Father? Christ is pleasing to, the Godhead. It says, you see Jesus, you see the Godhead. We're going to get into that next week. But Christ is found all throughout Scripture. It's not just a New Testament thing. There's this war against the Old Testament. What's in the old is in the new, and what's in the new is on the old. Anybody that's going to build a building that's two stories, how many think it's smart to ruin your first story when you're living on the second? Think about it. So we want to not look at the Old Testament. Why? Because it's old. Look around this room. Either you're there or you're going there. And when you're there, you don't want anybody to look at you cross-eyed because you're there, because you didn't used to be there. You wackos. So it's the testament of Christ. It's the testament of God in old and new form. We have these, you know, vernacular words that we use, but it's the testament of Almighty God from cover to cover, 66 books of the Bible. Christ can be found in each of those books. Christ, the center of His Word. Christ is the Word at the center of my life. And I want to feed, can I say, Christ, who is pleasing to God in my life. He wants to do an amazing work in us, everyone. Let Him. Let Him. Let Him. Let Him in. You give Him an inch. Okay. You give Him a centimeter. He takes several. And you didn't know what you wanted to say, did you? Hey, no. You were like, miles, kilometers. What do I say to the Yankee? Anyway. I'm Ozzy. I beat the crocodile across the billabong in 2012. Isn't that great? You don't care, whatever. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, hallelujah, and walk in love. To be in Christ is to be in love. This is a love relationship with God. Do you love Him today? Do you receive His love for you today? Now that's a different story. You know, I can do all this, you know, Jesus, oh, ooh, Jesus, I'm giving to you. Not just sitting quiet, I want to talk to you. I want to tell you my lavished thoughts of love for you. Yeah, but I feel more comfortable me raising my hands and doing the Holy Ghost hop and the charismatic kick and spinning and flags. I like flags, but sorry. It's all right, what? I really do like flags. Anyway, it's just. And walk in love. But, we can get in a position where we can give and we get comfortable with Christ and I just want to give to you. And He says, no, I want to give to you. I want you to be a good receiver. Are you a good receiver of God's love in your walk today? God wants to make us better receivers and givers of Christ's love, as Christ also has loved us. Scripture, Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. You know, again, aroma, fragrance. When we have Christ in our life, there's this aroma that exudes from your life that influences, that is attractive, that draws. I'll just read a couple points of where Christ is found in Scripture. I'll read these just a couple of verses. Hebrews 10:7. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. John 5:39. Search the Scriptures. They are they which testify of who? Jesus Christ. Luke 24:27, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Wouldn't you have liked to be there, one of the disciples, in that day, and He brings the Scripture and He says, here I am, look at me here. Here I am, here, look, right here, here's me. Here I am. The Holy Spirit wants to do that in our life. Here I am, in the situation, but in the book, and taking the book to the situation. Here I am, I'm the solution with this relationship problem. I'm the solution with this lack of finance. I'm the solution with this parent-child relationship. I'm the solution with your neighbors. I'm the solution with the lack that you feel. within your worthiness or value. I am the solution. Let me show you. Let me apply the word. That's why we quote the word, declare the word over our lives and situation. There's no defense against the word. He is the living and active word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is. So that I might be. Genesis, he's the creator in Genesis 1 and 2, fulfilled in Colossians 1:16. We see it in the New Testament, supporting what's in the old supporting what's in the new. We find that Christ is the deliverer in Exodus 3. You see it in the New Testament, Acts 5:31. In Leviticus, he's the holy high priest. Leviticus chapter 8, 9, and 10. Fulfilled, we see in Hebrews 7:26. In Numbers, he is the smitten or the hit rock. Numbers 20, 8 through 13. Fulfilled in 1 Corinthians 10:4, supporting that truth. And in Deuteronomy, he's the true prophet. Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. Seeing it in Acts 3:22. Joshua, he's the captain of salvation. Hebrews 2:10. He's the captain of salvation. How about today, friend? How about today? I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm great at procrastination. But salvation shouldn't be procrastinized. Today is a day of salvation. There is no other way to get your golden ticket to heaven. Can I say the bus is leaving for some of us sooner than others? It's called death. And some of us will taste death before his return. If not all, should he tarry for another amount of time. It says very clearly that only the Father knows the time. Not even the Son knows the time when he'll return. Today's the day of salvation. We're going to water baptize people. Water baptism is an outward sign of an inward decision. They've already asked Jesus Christ in their heart at age 6 and 12 and 11 and older. But it's an outward, but yet we're dead and buried and risen with Christ, the supernatural connecting. You know, the Creator, he can transcend time. So that when those that go in the water and come back up, it's like they've been dead, buried with Christ 2,000 years ago. That connection, there's no divide. There's something supernatural that happens. Can I say when you ask Christ in your heart, something supernaturally happens. You start to become more like him instantly. He changes the way you think, the way you view. Christ at the center of your life. I highly recommend it for all. Today, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, please come. After I dismiss, come up and people will pray with you. To my left, there'll be prophetic ministry to my right. And if you're desperate, just wander up to anybody and say, how do I do this thing? Well, you ask for forgiveness of your sins and ask Jesus to come in your heart. Make him Lord. It means master. I have a sense there's some of us in the ranks that need to rededicate. Sometimes we can give our life to God and we become clouded by the worldliness, by the traditions of men, like I read in Colossians 2:8. And some of us just need to reconnect with Christ to make afresh a commitment that's already made, but to make him the first love of our life again. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the Christ, the anointed one, that you are anointing our life with only you. The one who can only satisfy the longing of our soul and be pleasing as a living sacrifice through our lives to the Father. I praise you and thank you for your word. May we be laid down lovers of you and your word and the things of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, highlight, breathe upon us, refresh, renew, fill us, lead us, guide us. You are God, there is no other. I thank you, Lord God, that we live in such an exciting day. I thank you for those that will be baptized in water today. May you meet them right in the midst of that wonderful choice and event. And may you go with us. And Lord, just Lead us and guide us into all truth that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.